Ask Sherwin-Williams during the 4-day super sale September 16th through the 19th and get 40% off paints and stains with prices starting at $26.69. That means 40% off our most popular color family, blue. Psychologists have found it to be soothing and relaxing, which makes it especially great for bedrooms and bathrooms. And of course, 40% off all of our other colors. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this September 13th, 2022. It's a Tuesday, right?
Yes.
And that's the least it... Leaping Lizards, Lock and Load Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
Okay, she's been waiting all day to do that. She does it pretty well. And there you go. He's the guy that engineering this program tonight. He's turning the knobs. He's pushing the buttons. He knows how to push my button. None other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody. And it is Pudge Week.
Right, and they're in the boiler room. There they are, sitting back there. Randy and Eric. Locked in. Can't get out unless we really get some big pledges. And, you know, I mean, it kind of hurts me. If they have to go to the bathroom, they still get locked in until we get some pledges. Nobody leaves till we get some pledges. Anyhow, it is pledge week. And then you just heard him all the way out there in Missouri. None other than that parson, Joe Larson.
Are you going to keep me here all night if we don't get enough pledges?
Yeah.
You'll keep me here at the farm. Okay. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, his child and forever, I am and glad of it.
All righty. There you go. It's your sentence of penance tonight. And listen, being locked in over there in the boiler room, that's tough, I tell you. Anyhow, I wanted to say this. These are the folks that called in last night when we went off the air, and I want to thank you for that. And that's the Dunnings in Ontario, 400, Gail in Massachusetts, 100, Carol in Philly, 150, Anonymous, 200, Dana in Texas, 150, and Paul in Texas, 25. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyhow, the phone lines are open tonight. Boy, do we have a lot. We really have a lot to get through to tonight. So, Joe, we might as well just get right after it. Let's get right into the scripture. Remember what the title of the message?
America, unless you repent, you shall likewise perish.
All right, while we're doing this, I'm going to give the numbers out right away. 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. Or...
that's the credit card line.
That's the credit card line, or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Now, listen, last night we forgot to mention, but we have some of those folks that pledge tonight. We have Attempt to Cure books. We were out of those before. Attempt to Cure books for donations of $40 or more. And that is a dynamite book by Dr. Glidden. It is absolute dynamite. Folks, it shows you all the different ailments and the natural remedies you can use. It's a thick book. Or Everybody's Sick and I Know Why for a donation of $30. It, too, is a great book. Our CDs, the songs that you hear playing here, I think it's like 20. One's got like 21 songs. The other's got like 19 songs on it. The songs that we play here on this radio program, CDs are $20. We ask a donation of $20. There are people out there that are absolutely destitute. And when they call the office, if they are destitute, then, well, we give it to them, no charge. Red books. Joe, that is next to my Bible. I think my best book is the Little Red Book, the Bible Answer Book. It's got all of the different topics in the scripture, and from A to Z, and it gives you all the scriptures that apply to that. And boy, I'm going to tell you what a help it is for pastors, isn't it?
We use it, both of us, all the time. But even for the layperson, it's set up. If you want to hit a topic, God's protection, Jesus the Christ. You look at the armor of God, atonement, eternal life. You just look at the pages, lust, redemption. It's titled on things that most people think about, not necessarily all pastors, but just the way it's set up, it's so easy to use, and it's so helpful.
Well, you know, what we had to go through to get those, thanks to Mr. Biden and his economy and being very, very short in supplies, we had to wait and wait and wait for those, but we finally got them in, and now... Also, we have Larry Nichols' books, 28 Years to Nowhere, 28 Years to Nowhere. And that donation, we were asking of $30 or more. And if you get any two of these that you donate for, we'll also give you a mystery gift, a free mystery gift, worth at least $20. Also, we have the 2,000 Mules. Now, we just got notified that they are coming in. We've already put out over 300 of those. 2,000 Mules, the videos that show the election fraud, and I mean election fraud, folks. We're in a war, and we'll talk about this later. Why, this is no time, okay, this is no time for prissies. This is time for people to step up to the plate. This is time, you know, and I'll talk about that later, too, like what happened today when the sheriff came out and we had a... He spoke to us, and we'll get into that. But this is the time to get these videos, 2,000 Mules, and show them. We got an election coming up. You're going to be up against it. The Democrats are as corrupt can get. They're just completely and totally corrupt, and they are planning more and more election fraud. We're watching them. We're going to fight it. People need to watch this film. They really need to watch that film.
Three stories to tell tonight to back up everything you're saying.
Okay, we ask a donation of $40 or more for that. All righty, now let's get into, and the numbers are 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Now, let's pick it up where we left off, Joe, in Matthew chapter 9. And...
Oh, I thought we were in Mark 1.
No, we didn't do. Well, if you think so, let's go back over to Mark 1 then.
14
Mark
and
1.
15. Yeah.
Verses 14 and 15?
Yep.
Okay.
Now after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel."
And so what is the gospel of the kingdom of God?
The gospel of the kingdom of God is the teaching of Jesus Christ that he taught to the apostles now to us through his book.
Now, these were the very first words spoken by the Lord Jesus in Mark, and he gives the core of his teaching that the long-awaited Messiah has come to break the power of sin and begin God's personal reign on earth. Now, What would have happened if they had received him and not rejected him?
Well, it would have changed the world. We would have entered entered the millennial kingdom.
We're going right into the millennial kingdom, the golden age, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, so let me ask you this then here. When he came preaching repentance,
First
now,
word he said in Scripture, repent.
Okay, did he know that they were going to reject him?
Oh, yes, he knew.
Okay, why is it that the Pharisees and Sadducees didn't recognize him, or did they recognize him and realize that, you know, they were looking for the conquering king, the one...
He wasn't what they wanted, so I think they saw what they wanted to see. They dismissed him because he wasn't what they wanted. And they resented this man and his power, his miracles, and I think they were blinded by their own lust for power, and they were in denial. We call that today denial.
All right. So, were they well aware of Isaiah 53? I mean, the description of the Messiah. Did Jesus not fulfill that to perfection?
Through perfection, but again, too many people I've talked to read in the Bible what they want to read and skip, don't seem to see the parts they don't want to hear.
Okay, so how did they apply Isaiah 53? They applied that not to the man, the Lord Jesus Christ, but to the nation of Israel. They said, this is not the Messiah, this is the nation of Israel itself.
I see what you're getting, yeah.
How in the world is that so misplaced?
Well, it was, yeah, just totally misplaced on purpose then.
Okay, so, I mean, there's no way in the world you could place a nation in that position.
No.
Just, it wouldn't happen. It can't happen. Now, let me ask you this. The Lord Jesus came, and the very first time he preached repentance. The Word of Faith movement claims, they teach that repentance is not necessary for salvation. So what did Jesus preach?
Repentance. I mean, like, again, the first thing he said was repent, for the kingdom is at hand. Repent.
What about John the Baptist?
He said repent. He came to bring repentance. To lead the way, to be that brought Jesus, you know. He was going to shine the light on Jesus, the coming, but it was all about getting baptized and repenting of your sin.
All righty. Now, can we go over to Matthew 9?
Matthew, yep.
Okay.
9 through 13.
All righty.
And as Jesus passed forth, what?
Go ahead, take it away.
As Jesus passed forth from hence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And we do know the key there is all of us are sinners. There is no one, you know, righteous, no, not one.
So it's only sinners that can be saved, then?
Only sinners can be saved, and the only people on this earth are sinners.
Okay, so let's go back there to verse 9. And Jesus passed forth thence, and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. Now, here he was appointed by the Romans to be the area's tax collector.
Yeah. Actually, Custom was a toll booth, wasn't it? Kind of there on the main road?
Yeah.
Or in the street, right there where everybody had to pass by?
Right. And why do you think the Romans appointed the Jews to be the IRS?
Well, it's easy. They wanted their own people having to do it. Make very different than a Roman sitting there. They were less likely to rebel, less likely to try and kill the tax collector, less likely to... Besides, the Jew knew his people and knew, everything.
The Jew knew who had what, huh?
Right.
Okay, so now, what was the incentive that the tax collector had to collect the taxes? Rome said, look, here, this is how much we want you to extract from these people. And anything over that you get, that's yours, right?
Right. So it made him want to raise the taxes higher so he had a good living. He didn't want to live in poverty, any tax collector, so they raised the tax rate. So they were living very comfortably, probably better than all the people around them.
Okay. And so how popular was he with the rest of the Jews?
About as popular as the fox in the hen house.
Okay, about as popular as 87,000 armed IRS agents are with us?
Somewhere about there, yeah.
Okay, so now, when they came, now the Pharisees were the ones that were the most angry. Why would they be so angry at the tax collectors?
Well, again, everybody got taxed, and it was a Jew that was doing it, so it was like a treason against your own people. They were, and they got taxed too, didn't they?
Well, actually,
they had to pay it.
They had, yeah, they were supposed to pay it, but here you remember, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were extracting money from the people too, remember?
Right.
Telling them, so now they were back basically in competition with the tax collectors, weren't they?
Yeah, it's like the government doesn't want competition with thieves and robbers.
How do we know that Matthew overcharged the people and cheated the people? How do we know that?
Well, because he was so hated the way the people treated him. If he were very poor and took very little, they would have maybe had pity on him, but... He must have overcharged quite a bit to be hated.
Well, we know that because when he repented, when he received Christ as his Savior, he went and gave the people the money back that he overcharged.
Back, yeah.
Okay, so what did that tell us about Matthew?
Deep in his heart, that conversion really changed him when he was called.
Okay, so now here it tells you when we read, the publicans and sinners, it says here that it came to pass as Jesus had a meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him at the tables. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto the disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? Doesn't it tell us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 that like can have no fellowship with darkness, that what fellowship could Christ have with Belial? If you and I were seen sitting and eating with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, what would that do for our reputation?
Not much. Unless we were preaching them heaven sweet and hell hot.
Okay, so...
But Jesus was... preaching and teaching to the sinners, it's just like we're supposed to have our close friends and family members as Christians, but we're to go out into the world and talk to the world and testify to them and tell them about Jesus, give them the gospel. Doesn't mean we bring them into our house and make them our closest friends and become one with the world. We're to be separate. but we're to go out in this world. It's the harvest out there, and we're supposed to be out there working in the harvest.
So when the ordinary Jews saw Jesus sitting down with the Pharisees and the publicans, and, you know, that's publicans, not Republicans, okay?
Right.
So the average Jew would say, well, boy, look at that. Look at who he's with. You know, we thought he was better than that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what did the Lord Jesus know about what Matthew and some of the publicans were going to do after he had talked to them?
Well, he knew everything that was going to happen, not just to them, but everything that happens to me, everything that happens to you, everything that will happen throughout the life of one of our listeners. He knows it all.
Okay.
No surprises, right?
So, if you and I witness to Merrick Garland, and afterwards Merrick Garland stopped hating Christians and started telling the truth, and started doing his job and stopped persecuting Christians, and he repented of that, and he would go and make sure that all of those people, all the patriots on January 6th that were put in the gulag, that they were released, then what would we know about Merrick Garland? Did he really repent? Did he get saved?
He would have truly repented. He would have become a born again new creature, a new creation. You could see because he had a change of heart.
Okay, so if everybody was to see that, then they would say, well, this Jesus, his gospel truly changes men, wouldn't he?
Right, and when Matthew changed and became a disciple, I'm sure that was quite a testimony throughout the whole area.
Okay, now listen to this.
It goes fast, right?
Yep, but when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, now listen, Joe, to what he says, okay? They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Now listen, but go you and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. Now, who are the hardest people in the world to witness to?
Those who think they're saved but aren't.
Those that think they're saved. Those that think, now, there are people that think they're saved. There are people that will say, well, look, you know how much God loves you because look at how wealthy you are. Look at the house you're living in. Look at the car that you're driving. Look how healthy you are. You know, that means that God loves you. Well, so does that mean that God loved Hugh Hefner or... I'm trying to think of the name of that crazy...
Oh, yeah, that other ugly guy that wrote... Yeah, I try not to think of names like that.
Well, okay, what about George Soros? George Soros has all this money, or Bill Gates has all of this money and lives in this lavish... So does that mean God loves those people?
In part, he loves them enough that he wishes that they would repent and turn from their wicked ways, but he does not love their behavior, what they're doing. He hates the wickedness of their behavior, but he also knows which ones will repent and won't repent, and those he hates.
So what is Christ telling the Pharisees about when he says this? Okay, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I will have mercy and
busy,
not... Huh?
They were busy doing all the sacrifices, but they were not... They were the ones that were sick that needed Jesus the most.
Because they had a false...
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
They had a false sense that they were saved, huh?
Right.
And so...
We're doing the sacrifices. We're doing the prayers. We're standing there wearing our, you know, garb. We're putting on the show to the people.
And the Lord Jesus, when he said, go and learn what I mean by that, right?
Right.
He said, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And so here,
tell them you're sinners, but they didn't get it. They weren't righteous. They thought they were, but they weren't.
Absolutely. And so he was telling, well, what he was telling them there is there wasn't any righteous. There was no righteous.
Right.
Okay. And so
you're not righteous, you know, and then the others can't be either.
All righty. We will be back right after this. Before we go, we got to say Bugs Bunny and Arkansas pledges 200. I know who that is. All right, 888, folks, listen. The phone lines have not been ringing. We got to hear from you. We really do. 281-1110, 888-281-1110, or 888-677-9673. Help us. We need that. We need you right now tonight. We've got to keep fighting. We got to fight. We have really tough times coming, and we want to be here. We really want to be here to warn you, as the watchman on the wall does. We'll be back after this.
This show has obtained a subpoena from Merrick Garland's DOJ issued in the past week, and what it demands is both unlawful and without precedent in American history. The subpoena claims to be investigating, quote, any claim that the vice president and or president of the Senate had the authority to reject or choose not to count presidential electors. Now, keep in mind that any claim you make as an American citizen about electors, any claim you make about American politics, period, is protected explicitly under the First Amendment. That's our core freedom. It's why we live here. It's why we're proud to be Americans. It's why so many American servicemen died protecting our country. Those are the freedoms that they fought to preserve. That's why nobody prosecuted leading Democrats in 2016 when they sought to reject electors for Donald Trump. Right. It's why none of those people, including Kamala Harris, is now in jail. But right now, according to the subpoena that we have obtained, Merrick Garland's DOJ is demanding all communication from the following people on this topic. And let's be clear before we read their names that it is not clear what the investigation is actually about. And that's the most terrifying part. What is this? On what grounds are you demanding my private communications with people? They never say. But included in this precedent-breaking sweep of political opponents of the Biden White House would be former White House advisor Bernie Kerik, who is the former police commissioner of New York City, Boris Epstein, who is the current attorney for Donald Trump. At no time in American history has it been okay to grab the personal communications of someone's lawyer, because those are privileged. Not anymore. Matt Morgan, Justin Clark, Kenneth Chesbrough, Mike Roman, RNC official Joshua Finley, Trump attorneys John Eastman, Jenna Ellis, Joe DiGenova, James Troupas, Rudy Giuliani, Sidney Powell, Victoria Tenzing, Cleta Mitchell, Bruce Marks. We could go on and on and on and on. The DOJ is now going after former White House official Stephen Miller, frequent guest on this show with a subpoena. Why? Well, it could be because Stephen Miller went on this network and said, quote, if we win these cases in the courts, then we can direct the alternate state of electors are certified. In other words, he didn't call for an insurrection, much less violence or a coup. He called for alternate electors to be seated if the court ordered them to be seated. In other words, he was following the constitutionally prescribed process post-election. He was doing what he's supposed to do. He was following the rules. But under Joe Biden, that apparently is now a crime. And by the way, every one of these people has to hire lawyers to defend him or herself. And a lot of them at this point, after 2 years of harassment by Joe Biden, can't afford it. In addition, we should say we've obtained the subpoena. This subpoena goes on to demand the communications from dozens of other Republicans and people who have spoken to them, including State Representative Jake Hoffman in Arizona, Republican National Committee member Kathleen Burden in Michigan, former U.S. Representative Lou Barletta in the state of Pennsylvania, and Republican State Party Secretary James Graffenfreud in Nevada, among dozens and dozens of others.
All righty, we are back. And, you know, Joe, remember what the DOJ used to stand for? It was called the Department of Justice. Well, today it's deleting our justice. That's what they stand for today.
Yes.
Deleting our justice. And now, there is some rumbling. There's things that are happening, Joe, within the FBI, okay? And That's the fascist bullies of insurrection. The fascist bullies of insurrection. There's a lot of rumbling going in by the people that in there, the FBI agents that have some integrity, that have some honor. Those that are, you know, have a higher moral, a higher standing than those at the top, who have basically become whores. They really have, and they really, if they only understood, Joe, what they're doing, you know, if they only understand that they will be accountable before Almighty God, they will be. There's no chance that they're not going to be accountable. They can, you know. Christopher Wray, with that little smirk that he has, that smirk will be wiped right off his face unless he repents. And so we don't, you know, they hate us. You've got these dirty 30, these cowardly little cowboys that, you know, here, Simone Gold is out now. She got out of prison following her bogus prosecution. And let me just read this article real quick. We're happy to report that Dr. Simone Gold of America's Frontline Doctors has been released from the prison following a lengthy bout of persecution over her speaking appearance on January 6, 2021, at Capitol Insurrection. The insurrection took place by the Communist Party. And you had the Dirty 30 rogue FBI agents, the Dirty 30 there. They were the same ones that were involved with that bogus Whitmer kidnapping and the very same Dirty 30 that were involved in Mar-a-Lago. But now, what's happening within the agency of the FBI, more and more people are coming forward and saying, you know, we're fed up with this. You've given us all a bad name. You make us all look dirty. And I encourage you people in the FBI that have kept your integrity. Remember what the Lord said about Job? After all that he had gone through, remember what the Lord said, and still he has kept his integrity. And right. And you folks out there, I encourage you, listen, to keep your integrity, and I encourage you to step up to the plate, admonish those that are corrupt and crooked, to refute them, rebuke them, tell them they need to repent. They need to repent of that, because I'm going to tell you, they will perish. Jesus didn't stutter when he said it, right? And so,
no stuttering with that. Repent or perish.
And you dirty cops, I just want you to stop and just think for a minute. You know, you cowboys think you're having fun. Just think of what you're doing to your families. Think of what you're doing to your children, your wife, and your children, and your families. You know, they're really proud of you, aren't they? Listen, the only answer, the only remedy for sin is repentance. Do that. It can't help but make you a better person. Get out of that. Come out of the corruption. The Bible says, come out from amongst them and be you separate from them. Doesn't it, Joe?
Sure does. And I'm thinking what you're saying applies to all those that work in Washington, D.C., whether they're in the Department of Justice, the State Department, the IRS, FBI. Everything you say applies to every one of those people.
It absolutely does.
We have a corrupt government in D.C., and if you're not part of the solution, you are part of the problem.
But you know, Joe, there are those that are even in more trouble with God than those FBI agents, even in more trouble with God probably than Joe Obama, Biden, and Kamala Harris. And do you know who they are, Joe?
Those who kill the unborn children.
Yeah, but there's another group. VP Harris promotes abortion at National Baptist Convention. Now, these are the apostate. This is the apostate church.
Apostate, yeah.
They're the church of Satan, okay? Here, Vice President Kamala Harris used her speech on the 142nd Annual National Baptist Convention in Houston, Texas, on Thursday to push abortion rights, saying that women should have the freedom to make decisions about their own bodies. Yeah, they have their own bodies, but not an individual child that's within them. Kamala Harris
and preach against her, right? Not one of them, probably.
Well, no, they invited her there to speak. That's the problem, Joe. Okay, first of all, Joe, look, if you have one of those days, a Democrat day, where you think you're a woman, and you're going through that, and you have a, are you really a woman, or is that just an illusion, Joe?
It's probably an illusion. I'm hoping people don't have a day where they actually think they're a Democrat. Oh, that would even be worse.
Well, these people that call themselves Christians and Baptists, and they're pro-abortion, they're the very same ones that embrace sodomy. They support the lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queers, okay? They're the same ones that support pedophilia, Joe. And they say, here we are, we're Baptists. They're not Baptists, first of all. They're Protestant. Only about 10% of those that have Baptist in their name are actually Baptist. They're Protestant, and they're apostate Protestant. That whole national council, what they call the National Baptist Convention. And say, well, there were some people there that were offended by that. Well, that's really something, huh? There were people there. The Bible says, come out from amongst them and be you separate from them. Once the church is apostatized, once it's gone that way, there's no turning back. It doesn't come back. I've never seen ever. As they always say, the fish rots from the head down, doesn't it?
It does, and it's true.
And so here, to even have her, because she's an unclean woman. God's word says Kamala Harris is an unclean woman. She's corrupt. She's corrupt, and she's unclean. And that's what the word of God says. Can you argue with the word of God?
You can, but you won't win.
Has anybody ever won one?
No.
And there you go. So
you can stand there and you can argue to the mountains. You can argue to the sea. You can argue to the rocks. It will do you as much good as arguing with God.
And so here you go with this. So this whole thing is fraudulent. First of all, Harris is not legitimate vice president. That was an election fraud. That was not a legitimate election. That election was stolen. And that's reality. That's the truth. Okay, two, she's not in a legitimate Christian church at all at National Baptist. They're apostate. They've apostatized. They've gone away from the Bible. Everything that God's word, the Bible, calls sin, they embrace. What did Jesus say about the hypocrites? How many woes did he give to the hypocrites?
Three.
Well, he gave three woes, but over there in Matthew chapter 23, woe unto you, Pharisees, hypocrites. He gave this what they call the seven woes. And actually, there were eight woes, but two of them were about the same subject. And so he said, woe unto you, woe unto you, woe unto you. And every time, hypocrites were in the end. And that's exactly what these people are doing. They're claiming to be Christians. But everything that God's word, the Bible, condemns as an abominable sin, they embrace.
Well, hypocrisy and lying. There was a Pastor D. Roy Murdoch. He was talking about there's a new disease that Democrats have. It's called strategic amnesia. It's a new syndrome that lets the Democrats forget they were guilty of the same behavior for which they demonized the Republicans. It's about the psychological projection. They were the ones you and I remember back the 2016 elections. And it's amazing what they said back then. I've got they were talking about how he was a illegitimate president. Hillary said Trump lost the election. He was put into office because the Russians interfered on his behalf. That was Jimmy Carter. On and on and on, the stuff that they went. The election was rigged. And Molly Hemingway with a news reporter, she's got a story that's got pages of the stuff where they were demonizing, going after.
Joe, I have to jump in real quick because
Biden stole the election.
Because we're in trouble here. So We want to say Carol in Illinois pledged 100. Lori in Oregon pledges 100. Betty in California pledges 50. Folks, the phone lines have been quiet. They can't stay quiet, or we can't stay here. 888-281-1110. 888-677-9673. Joe, here, listen to this. We talk about the apostasy. Remember what Jesus said to the religious leaders. He said, had you not been told and had you not been shown, you would have no sin. But since you've been told and since you've been shown, you have no cloak for your sin. So here now, the apostate church, these preachers in the apostate church, they know what the Word of God teaches, and they go purposely
against it.
Against it, and they know that.
So they lie and twist it and turn it.
Here you go. Indiana Baptist Church ordains transgender pastor. It's an article. This is out of the Worthy News by Karen Faulkner. The University Baptist Church in Bloomington, Indiana, has ordained a transgender woman. Church leaders report the ordination of Laura Bethany Buckleiter took place on May 23rd. A few weeks after the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America elected its first transgender bishop. Now, the Bible says by the fruits that they bear, you'll know them, right?
Right.
Okay, so let me ask you this, okay. What does the Bible teach about having women as pastors?
One, it says no, that they should not, shall not be.
Okay. So now, here, what does it say? What does it refer to as these transgenders? The Bible, what? They're what? Are they natural? Or are they a nature? Or are they freaks of nature?
Freaks of nature. They are not natural. And the Bible talks about cutting, marking, doing things to the body was wrong.
And so, when the Bible says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, in other words, of a pastor, if a man. And it goes over and over. It says, let him be the husband of one wife. Let him be the father, okay, of his children. And so here, what would that say then by putting one of these that's neither male nor female, it's a freak of nature, into the house of God, into the pulpit? What does that do when it comes? Would that be...
That's an abomination. That one, it's not a church. It is not even a church, and it's not even a hireling. It's an abomination.
Okay, so right now there's people out there listening to us, and we sound to them like we're mean because we don't love these people, and we're not very happy that they can be pastors in that too. But what is it those people that think that, what is it that those people that think that, what is it that they completely and totally don't understand?
We are to warn those that are headed to hell, and we're warning those that belong to a church like that to run, to get out. We're warning those who are trying to attempt this, you know, transsexual bit, that this is a sin against God, and repent and turn from your wicked ways. We care enough about them to warn them that they're headed for hell. And those that are calling themselves pastors, getting up in front of a body they so-call a church, they could be condemning hundreds of people to hell, taking them with them, leading them astray. So it's a warning because we care enough to say something.
Okay. You have now out there today, and most of these things start out in California, where so much of this very strange and dirty stuff comes from, but you have these right now, these what they call swingers churches. They call it churches. They and every single one they have female pastors, and in these situations they allow swinging. They allow people to come and to worship, but they allow to have wife swapping within the church.
Captive, silly women.
Okay, so now, what, you know, when Jesus was talking about the Galileans yesterday, when he says, thank you, that these are worse sinners than you. So those people in that National Baptist Church, or the one that we did, the Indiana Baptist Church, or the National Baptist Church, are they any more righteous or any better at all than the church that allows the swinging to take place and the adultery?
No, all sin like that has an equal penalty. The wages of sin is death.
Okay.
It's God doesn't put it on a scale of 1 to 100. He said it's all sin.
So out of all three of those, would you say that all three of those are defiling the sanctity of the church?
Yes.
Okay.
One way or the other.
You see, folks, what you're hearing here should be preached out there. And if only we had more pastors had the courage to do that. And I praise the good Lord for the ones that do. But that's one of the problems we have in this country today. There's such a dearth of courage, such a tremendous dearth of courage in the pulpit.
There should be an outcry from all over all the churches in that surrounding area, but it doesn't happen because nobody wants to offend. But we see the same thing in the media. On the MSNBC's Morning Joe, Joe Scarborough had a guest who claimed that there's nothing in the Bible that says abortion is wrong. And this person, I can't remember his name, he argued that Jesus must not have an objection to abortion because I couldn't find anything where he said he was against it, you know, when he was on earth. And this anti-Christian, his response to the South Carolina Senate rejected a near-total ban on abortion a couple days prior to this, and he was talking about, well, see, they're probably right. And he said, well, I grew up as a Southern Baptist. I grew up reading the Bible. I might be backslidden, but I know the Bible, and Jesus never once talked about abortion, never once. So therefore, it's okay.
That man is a liar, and there's not a bit of truth in him, all right? And what did Jesus say? What is, okay.
Joe Scarborough himself.
Okay, well, Joe Scarborough, we know he's been a liar from the word go.
Yeah.
When God gave us the divine institution of human government, what was the point number three? He gave us 5 points. What was point number three? Point number three was Genesis 9, verses 5 through 7, where the entire purpose, and that's where we got the statute, okay, of the death penalty. The entire purpose of divine human government was to preserve the image of God, that being man. Jesus said this three times from Genesis 1 to Genesis 9, be fruitful and multiply. That means give life, not taking it, give it, not taking it, okay? He tells you also in Leviticus, should two men get into a fight, and if a woman, the wife of one who happens to be with child, gets into the middle of it and she causes her to lose the fruit of her womb, now it says, if no mischief follow, that means, well, if the baby comes early, but the baby's okay, the baby's not dead, the baby's okay, then no problem. But if the husband can find the other man, but if the child dies,
right,
then that man has to give his life. The one who's responsible for the death of the child gives his life.
What they're trying to say is Jesus didn't say that, but what he's forgotten is Jesus is the one who wrote the whole Bible. It's Jesus is the Logos, the Word of God, and he's the one who wrote the Old Testament, so everything in it is the Word of Christ, not just the Gospel.
Absolutely.
A lot of people forget that. They try and avoid that. Somehow it was somebody else who did the Old Testament. You know, you and I know God was the same, what, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. what he said yesterday holds true in the future forever. So if that's what God said anywhere in the Bible, that's it forever and ever and ever.
Did Jesus not say that you'd be better off to have a millstone which weighed 4,000 pounds hung around your neck and drowned than to harm one of his little ones?
Yeah.
All right,
and
there you go.
Children, yeah.
Don't get much plainer than that, does it?
So we know the media and...
All you do is read 139th Psalm. Read 139th Psalm, and that tells the whole story.
Yep, amen. But so we're just adding, we've got the media, we've got these New Age churches that are... that God said his word, you know, will last forever, and we are to what? Believe the word of God, not change it, not add to it, not take away from it, not one jot, not one tittle. What he meant, what he said what he meant, and that's it, period.
Already.
Why that's so hard to understand.
Beverly in Manhattan pledges 50, and somebody else, plus 200? Well, Beverly gave 200. Thank you, Beverly. Okay, Joe, we're way, way, way off our goal tonight. We're coming up with the first hour. It's almost gone, and we are way off. 888.
Numbers again, real quick.
888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. Or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Okay.
I guess tonight might be a good time. Just Terry and I will donate 200, and we will pledge that tonight. And hopefully somebody will match me. We'll get several people to match me. I donate enough with, you know, you and I, everybody that's in the ministry, we buy equipment, we buy things for the radio ministry, we buy our own computers and all the equipment that goes into the research and everything else. And yet, we're willing to put our own money. None of us take any money. We are donating our own time, our own talent, and our own treasure. That's how much we believe in keeping this ministry on the air. We see, well, one of the examples right here, a headline, Democrats outpacing Republicans by tens of thousands of absentee ballots in key midterm state. We told you they were going to try and use the
I don't doubt that. A bit.
Same cheating going on, and here it goes. It's happening now in the state of North Carolina, and they're rushing to get in the absentee ballots right away as early and soon as many as they can.
Folks, now, we're going to be playing a clip when we come on the other side of the hour. And in that, he asks, he's talking about how frustrating this is for Republicans and how Republicans are saying, why even vote? You know, because the playing field is not level. The Democratic Communist Party, our government is so corrupt. It is so corrupt. Why vote? I will answer that question after you listen to the clip here in the second hour. But... here's an article. Trump supporter has home raided by armed FBI. That's fascist bullies for attending January 6th rally that she did not attend. She did have an anti-Biden sign in her yard. Well, we had them in our neighborhood. Half the neighborhood had anti-Biden signs in their yard, and they still do.
Yeah.
Okay. Her name is Lisa Gallagher, and she had an anti-Biden sign in her yard, and she got raided. Usually, you know, it would probably take, for this one woman, probably about at least 20 to 30 of those FBI agents. They'd be all in their cowboy gear to take down one woman.
This time, actually. And three armed men and one single mother. Yeah, it was pretty rough.
No, it's kind of hard to think that it only took three of them, right? Yeah, it's what it says, yeah. Three. Be right back. We'll be back after this.
Light the fire. Take a stand. Light the light. Feel our land. Let's come against the night.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance.
To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.